Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala. All right, we're starting a new book. It is the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. Anybody read that book, apart from the story of Moses, at least? Genesis 1:1. God created is what we're going to see today. If you only have a New Testament Bible, you may have to look for somebody who has an Old Testament part. So you can find Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the newness that you bring us every day, Lord. Your faithfulness seen in the sunrise. Lord, thank you so much for just the cool weather this morning. And Lord, thank you so much for the word that you have for us, Lord, as you choose to reveal yourself to us, oh God. So we ask, Jesus, that you lead us, Spirit, help us understand, and God, may you just show us your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is really the summary of the entire Bible, right? The word itself means origins or beginnings or generations. As this narrative is passed on to Adam and penned down by Moses. So what God is going to do here is actually eventually going to be given to Adam. And God would sit Adam down and tell him, in the beginning, I made the heaven and the earth. And on and on and on. And Adam would pass this story, this narrative to his children up until they were able to write it down. And we have it down here in the pages of scripture. In the beginning, when was that? I didn't even think about that. In the beginning, when? I'm sure Adam was wondering, God, when did you start all this? And God is like, in the beginning. When was that? This is the beginning of everything we see. The beginning of time, the beginning of earthly life, the beginning of perfection, the beginning of law. God is going to make man and give him the very first law. The beginning of disobedience and sin. Man is going to disobey and sin. This is the beginning of judgment. God demonstrates that you break his law, there are consequences to it. The beginning of sacrifice, when Adam sinned, and God had to clothe them with animal skin. How do you get animal skin? An animal has to die, right? This is the beginning of the promise of the Messiah, Genesis 3:15. When man fell, God made a plan for our salvation. This is the beginning of God's choice of Abraham. Initially it was Abram, and God graciously chose him, and he became the father of many nations. This is the beginning of nations, as God would divide people, different tribes, nations, and tongues. The beginning of languages, and all languages are going to start from right here in Genesis. And when you even think about language, you're thinking, how did we end up with over a million tribes on earth? Like, how does every people group eventually form their own language? When you cross any part of the country, different languages are spoken. You're thinking, how on earth did that happen? You have a struggle figuring out what everybody is saying, and for them, it's like drinking water. It all began here, the beginning of governance. God makes man and gives him instruction and tells him, lead this earth, have dominion over it, lead it, take care of it. The beginning of civilization, human civilization, from stones to iron to construction to everything else that we see now. This is, above all, the beginning of God revealing himself to us. The God we've not seen chooses to say, I am going to show you who I am. And if we do not understand this book, then we will not understand everything else. If we didn't have any other book of the Bible, Genesis is sufficient to tell us everything we need to know. In fact, the entire Bible is actually a commentary of Genesis. God beginning to make everything and set order. In the beginning, there was this infinity, right? Think about so far behind and so far ahead, and there's no end. And in the beginning, God sets what we call time. And we're able to measure day and night. It's like a watchmaker. You have a watch, assembles everything and then puts in a battery and it starts measuring moments. Somebody defined time as a measure in which events can be ordered from the past through the present into the future, and also the measure of durations of events and the intervals between them. So God, infinite, makes this thing we call time, and then we're able to see day and night and minutes and hours and weeks and months and years. Now, if we take the genealogies in Genesis and measure how long Adam lived and how long their children lived and their children's children and Noah, a lot of people have done some calculations, and this happened about 6,000 years ago. If you just take the years, and we're going to see the genealogies. About 6,000 years ago is when this happened. Now, there could be a long period of time between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Because God creates everything, but we know that from Ezekiel and Isaiah and other parts of scripture, that there was a fall, a first fall, the fall of Satan. And it could have happened between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And in a sense, God recreates. God sets another order altogether. I won't go much into that. We will spend the entire year talking about that. But anyway, there's a lapse of time between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But if you take simple calculations, you end up about some say about 10,000 years ago. Evolutionists suggest billions of years ago. they don't have any ground for that. Anyway. In the beginning, this third word there, fourth word rather, God. The word is Elohim in Hebrew. Talks about his plural form. Three in one, it's a plural word. But it just literally denotes strength and power. In the beginning, strength and power created, made out of nothing, the heavens and the earth. This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the indescribable God, the infinite, the invisible, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. And we can keep going on and on and on, and we'll not even exhaust our imaginations about God. We can't even define Him. In the beginning, God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, John wrote, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." God's choice to reveal Himself to us would eventually end up with His Son coming down and showing us who He is in human form. In John chapter 4, verse 24, God is Spirit, His wind, literally. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Again, we can spend 10 years just looking at God, and even the 10 years won't be sufficient. Just thinking, just meditating, just pondering upon who this being is, and our brains are too small for that. In the beginning, God, what happened? Created, made everything, the heavens and the earth, out of nothing. Can you imagine that? He's going to speak things into existence. Just life be, and life was. Plants be, and plants were. Everything be, and everything was. That is incomprehensible. You cannot, who among us can speak things into existence? You don't even have to use your hands or anything. You just say this be, and it is. Alright? Don't you wish we had those powers? You know, car be, and it's right there in front of you. If you needed that morning. Like bicycle be, and it's right there. I need a bicycle this morning. You know. Food be, and it's right there in the kitchen. I need breakfast. That is our God. All powerful. He creates great beauty. Look around you. I mean, we've ruined God's creation, but it's still beautiful, isn't it? Great power. Look at the great order that we see around us. your hair, your eyes, standing, gravity, the earth is round but nobody's falling off. We have more water than soil, but the water is not spilling into soil. There is, I think it's the Gulf of Alaska, two oceans meet and they don't mix. Imagine two bodies of water and one is a little blue, one is darker. And you can tell the boundary and be thinking, both of them are liquid, but they don't mix. Amazing. Great accuracy. Look at your eyes. Can you even try to figure out how you're able to see? I mean, we can read facts about how everything happens so we are able to see images and how everything is interpreted. And you're thinking, that is so much order. Look at the functions in your body. Where your eyes are placed, where your ears are, your nose, your mouth, your heart, your lungs. Look at the plant life. We exchange air. They give us what we need and we give them what they need. You look at the oceans, the seas, the clouds. Amazing order and exactness. Great mysteries also. There are things that we have not found out about everything that God made. Scientists and everybody else in their career are still studying. And we can only study just a few things in a lifetime. If you choose to study law, that's all you can handle. Alright, you cannot be a lawyer and a doctor and a mechanic and an engineer and a surgeon. You can only handle just a few, much as somebody says, we have up to 700,000 skills. We're able to do up to 700,000 skills in this body that we live in. Isn't that incredible? God created the heavens and the earth. Everything we see above the heavens and everything beneath the land, the air, and the water bodies. We live on planet Earth, and it's an arrangement, all these planets, an arrangement that is called the Milky Way galaxy. Almost the planets arranged in circles, right, if you study physics or such fields. And I'm just going to talk about a few things about what is in the air. The Milky Way is a spiral, goes round, a diameter usually considered to be 100 to 120,000 light years. You can't even imagine that. We have a mathematician here, Andrew can tell you what a light year is. A light year is well over 9 trillion kilometers, the speed of light around the orbit, right? 9 trillion kilometers. Now imagine 100 to 120,000 light years of diameter. Estimated to contain 200 to 400 billion stars. And every time our human effort make telescopes that can see better and better, we discover more and more. Can you imagine 200 to 400 billion stars? You know what the Bible says in Psalm 147, I think 3? God numbers them and he knows them by name. How many names do you know? I have a little bit of ability to know people by name. Like I can tell you by your two names after some time. How about just a million people around you and you know them by name? Each one. How about, and these are just stars. These bright, shining elements that we can't even describe. Alright, they are so many million miles away and they're bright. They're shining. Some, in fact, if not all, are brighter than the sun. If they were nearer, the sun would go dim. Although the number, scientists say, may be as high as 1 trillion. There are probably at least 100 billion planets in our Milky Way galaxy. Alright? 100 billion planets. So initially we only thought we had what, 9? The Earth, the Moon, the Sun, the Jupiter, Mercury, and all these other things. And as they make better and better telescopes, 100 billion planets. In fact, after this, I don't know which is the closest after the moon, would take you not enough time to get there. We'd have to get in a plane before we are born and then try to go reach the next planet after the moon. All right? Or Mars or it's just impossible to even get after the next to our earth. And people are trying to get to Mars and Moon, and that's how far they've gone. Imagine 100 billion planets. That's our God. And there are those who have challenged what we have here, that God made everything. One of them is Charles Darwin, when he wrote that book on the origin of species in 1859. And he said, we, over billions of years, came to who we are and everything else. So there's this span of life, and eventually there is this unit of life called a cell, single cell, that was able to multiply and grow and form an order from something primitive to something civilized, from completely nothing. Can you even imagine that? Like, from completely nothing, everything eventually happened, to trees, to fish, to humans, in the order and exactness that we see. Can you even imagine that? Imagine you came here this morning and we found more speakers here, and nobody was bothered where those speakers came from. Like, oh, they just happened to be. They over the last 15 years just grew into speakers, and they're wired. And they're wired, and we can use them to speak louder. And you're thinking, what? Imagine you went to your home and you found things that you did not leave there. And you're not even bothered. You're like, oh, these things just came to be. From nothing. That over time, a process by which organisms change over time as a result of changes in heritage, physical or behavioral, that allow everything to be better and adapt to its environment with ability to survive and even multiply. Can you imagine that? Obviously, that has been flawed many times, but it's still taught today as if it's real. We learned evolution in secondary school as if it happened. The first man. Who was that? I can't even remember his name. So some people, after Charles Darwin, tried to rebuild this. They realized that this cannot happen. Then they have come up with something called chemical evolution. So Charles Darwin says from nothing, and then these other guys say, well, there are some chemical reactions in the process. Right now, you know that a chemical process has to have who? A chemist. Right? Chemical reactions don't just happen randomly. And they have built it to say, well, now there are chemical reactions in the process, and then there's this one cell, and then it multiplied, you have everything else that we see. They even got more foolish and came up with this theory called the Big Bang Theory. That over billions of years, there's just this temperature and pressure that formed, and there was this large explosion, and a cell was born. And eventually, we have humans. And all those theories have actually been flawed. It's all lies. The most recent theory is called the intelligent design, a scientific or pseudo-scientific view that certain features of the universe and living things are best explained by an intelligent cause, not an undirected process such as natural selection. So if we are a product of intelligent design, an intelligent design requires what? An intelligent designer. They just don't want to say in the beginning God created everything. There's no other explanation to our existence. Towards the end of his life, Charles Darwin, who caused this foolish teaching across the world, said, to suppose that the eye with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration. That's a lot of words, right? He says, supposing the eye with all its functions evolved, he said, I freely confess that would be absurd in its highest degree. And that is just one part of the body, the eye. The people who make cameras have not made a camera that powers itself and as small as a bird's eye. which is actually a better camera than our eyes, are small, very tiny, but sees better than we do. Nobody has made that. And that is just one part of the body. Can you even imagine that that being called the eye came to be in its functions and accuracy and ability to see? You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 about those who reject God? Romans chapter 1 verses 20 to 23. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, and birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. All of us come to be who we are with a sense that there is a superior power beyond us. It is foolish to deny. Can you imagine you have a child in your house and they're telling, you know what, I just came to be from nothing. And you know that you were the parent. It's unthinkable. You would think of this kid extremely foolish. Like, where did you get that from? About 400 years ago, in Westminster, England, a group of Bible scholars decided to make a statement that defines God, our Creator. And they came up with two long statements. I'll just read you part of it. It's called the Westminster Confession of Faith. They said, there is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, hearts, or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will, for his own glory, most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and with all most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty. Good definition. But it's not exhaustive, is it? And even the definition itself is actually based on God's revelation to us. We run short of any word that can define God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, Paul is writing to this young man that he led to the faith. And this would normally be at the end of a letter, all right? But he writes it in the very first chapter, the middle of the chapter, towards actually the end of the chapter, verse 17. And he says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. And we all say, amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Praise the Lord. We'll stop there for today. Otherwise, we will spend weeks and weeks just studying one verse. And I'll just challenge us to just ponder about God and everything he made and just come to a place of almost saying nothing whatsoever and just allowing God to fill us with his beauty and with his glory. Just sit there and think about God, think about everything he makes. Maybe you should go and study some things about he has made, and that is just the heavens. We haven't even tackled the earth, right? And think about all the contents of the earth on which we live, right? All the layers of soil, all the different types of soil, all the wealth hidden in here, all right? All the gold, the black gold, the diamonds, the aluminium, the calcium, the iron, the things that we look for just to have on our hands, metal. And God just put them there. He just poked them into existence. We haven't even talked about the water bodies, right? And all the creatures in there. Now we have the benefit of watching National Geographic and discover we have what? Seahorses. Is it called a horsefish or seahorse or whatever? We have this, is it called a starfish that actually does not die? Is it the one that does not die? It's able to multiply its cells over and over and over. And recently the Chinese are trying to get some cells in there and see if they can put it in human beings so we can also live forever. Every now and then they're discovering a new piece of creation in the depths of the seas. Was it last year when that Malaysian flight disappeared? And with all human progress in technology, they can't find it. They could not. Not anyone could. And they were calculating if they had to dive in and really find the wreckage in the depths of the seas, they were calculating the depth, right? And the farthest they could go was four times the height of the tallest building on earth. Right? So they said, all right, if we to go down and look for this thing, we can only go four times the length of the tallest building, and that's where we can stop. We haven't even gone to the water bodies, have we? Our God is amazing. He is. Let's read this verse together. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand and worship. Lord, we are amazed at who you are and everything you made. Lord, we, in our best mind, in our best effort, in our best progress, cannot even fathom who you are from what we see. We cannot comprehend your wisdom, your power, your might, your greatness, even by seeing what we do. And that just causes us to fall down in wonder, in amazement, in honor, to just adore you. And so many lose themselves bowing down before everything you made. But we choose to bow down before you, the maker of everything. Because that's all we need to do. That's all we have to do. So Lord Jesus, we just want to honor you and adore you and glorify you and sit beneath you and even long to be with you again in perfection, in the fullness of your beauty. Thank you so much for revealing yourself to us and making everything we see. Everything you made, Lord, speaks of who you are. And yet there is so much more we are yet to discover. To you alone, Lord, be glory, honor forever and ever. Amen.